Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're going to jump back into this series on identity and just syncing up, in sync with your identity. In December or in Christmas of last year, Andy and the girls got me a Ancestry.com or Ancestry, it's Ancestry.com, but a little, packet, and I had to spit in the tube. And I sent the spit off, and then they come back and told me where I was from. Guess what they found? Yeah, I'm mixed up. I've got a lot of mixed up going on. But anyway, it's always something inside of us. I mean, for me, it was really cool to find out that, I was Western European and Germanic influence and Scottish, and I had all kinds of stuff in me. But there's something inside of us that's trying to always find out who we are. It's just in us to find out this is what happens. Stanley Grantz was a Christian theologian. He said, humans are plagued with an identity problem. Whether consciously or unconsciously, at the depth of our being, we raise the question, who are we? And our culture is very interested in the journey of identity. I mean, it seems like everyone is searching for something or someone to tell them who they are, where they belong, how they relate to the world. It seems to be the primal desire in us to know who we are. We look for it in our parental relationships. We grow up. We look for it in social circles. We look for it in our careers, our finances, our physical appearances. We seek for it in our kids' successes. We look for it all the externals. I mean, we even have today, it's the crazy world we live in, but how do you identify? Man? Male? Right? How do you identify? Everybody is after. So when we kind of see what's going on in our world, and this is really the attack is on identity. I mean, this is what you start seeing. But we can find what the enemy fears the most by seeing what he attacks the most. Let me let that set a minute. We can find out the enemy, what his tactics are. We can find out what the enemy fears the most by what he's attacking the most. So you think about that. The attack is on identity. Think about marriage. Marriage is under attack today. Think about sexual purity. Me and Andy were talking about this the other day. We are the most sexualized culture probably ever. There's real problems because the enemy, he wants to try to kill, he wants to try to steal, and he's wanting to try to destroy. Trying to tear marriages up, trying to tear your life up. We can see this. Can I get a good amen here today? So, identity, right? Identity. So the problem is we've got to find out who we are, and we find out who we are in Christ. We find out who we truly are by finding out who we are in Christ. It's the Pauline revelation. We see it in the Paul wrote his epistles as he wrote. The main thing that he was trying to always get across to us was who we are in Christ. In Christ. In Him. In whom. Over 130 times, Apostle Paul mentions the phrase in Christ. In Him. In whom. Through whom. Over 130 times. There's over 200 references that's not those words, but it's actually referencing to our identity in Christ. It's a big deal. Amen. Who we are in Christ is a big deal. Every decision I will make is going to be based in my identity. My decisions, how I'm going to run my life, it's all going to be based upon my identity. Who I am. How I see myself. Can I get a good amen this morning? What is identity? Identity is the marks that sets one apart. It's what defines you. It's who you are as an individual. So why is the subject of identity so important? Real quick, it connects us to our purpose. Number two, it sets life course for us. Again, identity is the structural steel by which we build our lives. What are you building your house on? That's what I'm saying. The third thing, it affects our freedom and our wholeness. I've already touched these things in different ways in this series, but my identity is very important because God wants me whole and God wants me free. Amen. But if I don't know who I am in Christ, I will give in to the falsehoods. I will give in to the fake. I will live by my flesh and not my spirit. It will cause major issues in my life. But when I know who I am in Christ, you put your feet right there in the middle of that, knowing that, you know what, I've been forgiven. I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail and above only, and I'm not beneath. When I know who I am, hallelujah, that I'm holy, that I'm irreprovable in God's sight, that I've been forgiven, I'm a new creation. When you know these things, something starts to happen in you. Hallelujah. It's like structural, it's like steel gets put down that your back. When the enemy starts coming with his bag of trash, you say, that ain't staying here anymore. Amen. I'm not living in condemnation. I'm not living in fear. I'm not living in that junk anymore. I'm not living by my past anymore. How many people are in the grave today that went there, didn't know who they were in Christ, all of a sudden just being tore apart, living their lives in condemnation and shame, and never truly knowing the Father that you and I have been called to know? So go with me to Acts 19. You guys all right here?
Hallelujah.
Tommy, you all right? Okay, all right. Now remember, I paid you before. Remember our deal. The Apostle Paul, great scripture, he's at Ephesus. Revival starts to happen in Ephesus. Things are happening. People are being saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking with other tongues and prophesying. I mean, miracles are happening. This is amazing things that are going on. Verse 13, we'll go pick it up right here. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. My gosh. Hopefully you don't say that. The devil will laugh you right out the door. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? If you're going to live in this world, you better know who you are. Who are you? That the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. It's a bad day. But if you don't know who you are in Christ, the enemy will take advantage of you every single time. If I don't know who I am in Christ, the enemy will take advantage of me and my family every single time. He'll keep knocking on your door. He'll keep trying to find a way in. He'll keep trying to torment you until you find out who you are. And when you know who you are, you can begin to live in victory. So the enemy is trying to take advantage of us. The enemy always attacks our identity. Two-thirds of Jesus' temptation, listen to this now, two-thirds of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness was about who he was. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down off the pinnacle of this temple. For surely he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. It was two-thirds of it was about who he was. If you're the Son of God, then do this. The enemy's always attacking identity. So if you don't know who you are, you'll never be able to win consistently over the temptations and trials the enemy throws our way. So there's three identity forgers, real quick. I want to run through three identity forgers, things that forge our identity as we are living our lives. Number one is family and social identity. Now, what you're saying, this is our DNA, this is our genetics, this is our family upbringing, good or bad. It forms identity. We're exposed to things, right? Our experiences in life, all these things will forge your identity. Number two, it's your in-Adam identity. I'm just running through this real quick because I got to get somewhere else. Your in-Adam identity. Everybody in this room started out in Adam. Everybody in this room has been affected by the fall. Your in Adam identity is how you were born. When you were born into this earth, you were born in Adam. You were born in Adam. We've all been affected. When Adam sinned in the garden, all of humanity, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, you can put that on the screen real quick. For when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Death spread to everybody. When Adam sinned in the garden, it injected death into the whole cosmos, and you and I are affected by that identity. When you were born in Adam. You were born to a mom and dad, but you were born in Adam. So you're in Adam identity. So death entered the human condition. And death is separation from God and his life. And you're cut off from experiencing his abundant life. This is why Jesus came. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed him would not perish but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son has life. He that doth not have the Son does not have life. That's 1 John. So if I don't know Jesus, you are operating in the state of death. It's not, it will lead to physical death, but we're talking about spiritual death. If you don't know Christ, you are operating in spiritual death. The problem, this is the problem, right? This is why Jesus said, do not marvel. I said to you, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. You cannot fix the condition by yourself. You can't knock on enough doors. You can't do enough good things. You cannot. And those things are great when you're going on doing good things. I can't come to church enough and expect that to save me. I'm only saved by one thing, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and me surrendering my life to him. My in Adam identity, it was what I was before. If you don't know Christ today, you are in Adam. You are in Adam. We don't have an option, man, without the Spirit. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So this is, again, we're talking about these identity forgers. Family, social. Second thing is your in-Adam identity, but thank God for this third one, my new identity in Christ. Hallelujah. John 3:3, Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let that set a minute. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot get to heaven. You cannot serve God without Jesus. You've got to have the Spirit. And man, people in this room, you may be coming to church today, and that is a great, great thing. But this does not save you. Amen. Amen. I need to have an experience with God. So what happens is, really, I leave Adam's family. I leave Adam's family and get into God's family. January 31st, 1997, I stepped from darkness to light. And I moved from Adam's family to the kingdom of God and the family of God. In Adam, in Christ, I now have his divine nature applied. DNA, divine nature applied. His divine nature has now been applied to me. We are now partakers, according to Peter, that we're partakers of his divine nature. I love that. This is the great mystery of our faith, church. That God shares his nature with us. That we're given birth by the Holy Spirit to be God's sons and daughters. And the Father, right? Just like a father. Just like a natural father imparts DNA. Imparts DNA, you and I have been imparted DNA from Father God through the Holy Spirit that now lives on the inside of you. You carry his divine nature has now been applied to you. Hallelujah. You're righteous. Galatians 2:16, look what this says here. It says this, in the, it says, yet we know that that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, not by doing the works. Remember now, I don't work for salvation, I work from it. He said, you know that a person is made right with God by faith, not by works. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one ever will be made right with God by obeying the law. So when I accepted Christ, I was made righteous. I was moved into a place of a state of being right with God, being justified with God, justified just if I'd never sinned. When I accepted Jesus, my was forgiven of my sin. I was made righteous. I was made holy. I was made irreprovable in God's sight. I'm not trying to be more righteous. I am righteous right now, not because of who I am, but because what Christ done for me. He now lives on the inside of me. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He lives in you. You're made right. Quit walking around thinking that you're just some old worthless piece of trash. You're not. Amen. You are righteous. Think about that a second. You've been brought into right standing with God. You're not trying to get righteous. That's all works based. See, I can't become more righteous. It's almost like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. I want to tell you this. I want to say this to you. You today, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to be just as righteous right now as what you are when you get to heaven. Amen. Now, I didn't say you can't work out that righteousness. I didn't say that all my actions were righteous. I didn't say that. I said this, you were made righteous, where? In your spirit. Amen? Are you guys all right here? Now, I can grow into it, just like my shoes. Like, if you would put James, let's just take James for a second, just James or whoever, and you would say, James, put these shoes on. Little James, one of us up here on the, you know, up here on the stool singing. Little James, is he a male? Yes. He carries the DNA of a man, right? He's a man, but he's not grown into his manhood. Just like these shoes, he's got to grow into the shoes are, listen, he's a man, he has his pairs just like my shoes. He could get in these shoes, he'll flop around in them, right? But it doesn't make him any more or less man. It's the same with you. You've been made righteous with God. You just got to grow into your righteousness. You got to grow into this holiness. It doesn't make you already are holy before God. This will help you. Why is this going to help you? Because so many people won't even approach the Father because they're counting all their sins. Well, God doesn't accept me. Listen, the Bible says, well, you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace that we can attain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. Not because of me, but everything about Jesus. His blood still speaks for me today. So I can go full face. He already knows you messed up anyway. Why in the world are you running away from him? Because that's what happens. I need to go full face to him. Father, I've messed up. Father, you know this. I confess that and I'm sorry, God. I would never want to break your heart. You understand what I'm saying here? So my identity in Christ, this is a way that I got to let this thing forge me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? I love it. If we're going to get anything, if I teach you anything before you go to heaven, it's going to be that scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things of what? And behold. Oh my gosh. You guys are amazing. It's working. It's working. It's really working. You're getting a hold of this. New, something new. Something. Pull up 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified. Look what it says. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and new has come. New creation. That word new is kainos in the Greek, and it actually means this. Something that's never existed before. Not refurbished. Not duct taped. Brand new. Brand spanking new. I'm telling you, listen, this is the point. I want you to know today that when you got born again, that something fundamentally changed about you. If you come to Jesus and you repented, I'm not talking out of sorrow. There is a worldly sorrow that does not produce repentance, Apostle Paul said, but there is a godly sorrow that produces repentance. And you come before the Lord, listen, I'm telling you something. Something changed about you. Amen. Well, I didn't feel it. It doesn't have anything to do with what you feel. I'm now basing my life not on my senses, but on my faith. And I put faith in Christ Jesus. He came and lived on the inside of me. Now, I want to show you this picture. It's a little gross, okay? So I just want to show you this picture, and I want to make this point, okay, real quick here. Now, I know this is a gross picture, okay? But this is, I saw this one time in nursing, one time. It's a very rare thing, but if a person would have a degloving of their hand, let's say, I don't know, whatever it would be in the skin, and it's having a hard time growing back. What they will do, it's an extreme thing that they will do. They will actually sew their hand inside of their abdominal skin. Now, I'm not meaning to gross you out. Just want you to see it. Now, you may want to take it off of there, okay, because people are getting ready to throw up, I think. But this is the deal, because once it gets on the inside, it starts receiving blood supply from something else. Well, let me remind you of what happened to Jesus on the cross. They took a spear and what? They thrust it in his side that you and I could be placed in him. And his blood, are you guys getting this? I don't know. His blood supply begins to supply something to me. And what happens to that hand, it begins to grow back brand new skin because it was connected to the blood flow of something else. Come on, somebody. This is what happened to you and me. Jesus' side was opened. That way the church could be placed in him, in his side. That his flow, his blood, his supply could come to you and to me, and something brand new could grow. Your new identity in Christ. It's a big deal. Because every decision you're going to make is going to be based off of that. So I got to get to know the new me. The real me. The Jesus identity that I have. Now go with me to John chapter 11. You guys all right? Anybody warm in here? Good. I'm not. I'm just saying. I was just wanting to know. Because I've been working on it for you. During worship, I was up here turning stuff down for you. You know me, though. I could take this coat off real quick. John chapter 11. It was funny. This is funny. We had our first journey group. We have a journey group, and we have like 12 people that come. And the last time we were together, they said, "Well, why do we know why the church is so cold? It's cold in here. Coming in my house, tell me how cold it is." Are you kidding me? It's at 71 degrees. John chapter 11. Verse 44. Now this is the story of Lazarus, right? When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Verse 41 says this. Then they took away, we're going to jump into the mix. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. He'd been there 4 days. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, and he said what? Let's read it together. "Lazarus, what? Come forth." And he who had died came out of bound hand and foot, and he came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him," and what? So this is what he would kind of look like, okay? So you can kind of put this picture up real quick. This is what he would look like. And this is from the Chosen scene. I mean, this is fairly accurate, I think. But this is what he would kind of look like. Now, think of this a second, because Lazarus was called out of darkness. He was called out of death into life. This is a type of you and I being born again. We were called out of death. Jesus spoke into our tombs. He spoke into our lives, right? He called us forth, right? We answered his call and we come out of the tomb. This is salvation. But guess what? Just because Jesus called him out of the tomb doesn't mean he still wasn't bound with some stuff. He's still bound. Lazarus is called out. He passes from death unto life. This is what happens to you and I. Jesus said in John 5, he said, he that believes in me has passed from death unto life. But the problem is he's still bound. And we bring, whether we want to admit this or not, we bring stuff from this, these previous identity forgers into this. You bring your past, and it's been forgiven, but we still bring stuff. Hurt, pain, my upbringing, or because whatever, the stuff that goes on in all of our lives. And we still bring this stuff into it, and we still need freedom. We still need freedom. So Jesus looks at, now notice now, he looks at his disciples. Isn't this interesting? Jesus didn't go unwrap him. He looked for somebody else. I just think it's an interesting thing that Jesus actually, he tells somebody else. He looks at his apostles. The Bible says that our faith is founded on the teachings and the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The teachings of Christ will unbind you. It's what he's looking at. He said, listen, you loose him. He talked to his apostles. He said, your teachings will unbind these people. The word of God will take and deliver them. The second thing is literally, we are responsible for each other. Amen. And we're responsible to help people out of their bondage. Help people out of their troubles, to pray with them, to believe God, to bring deliverance through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the deal is this, I want you to see. Go back to that picture real quick one more time. Because this is the struggle. This is the contradiction. For believers, we still struggle at times. And the enemy tries to convince you and I that we're not saved because we're still bound. Hold on. Who called him out of the tomb from death to life? Who was the one that done that? So the enemy tries to convince you and me because we're still bound up with some things. Now, we need loose from those things. It's not an excuse. But the enemy start lying to you about, you know what, you're not saved. You know what, look at you. You're worthless. You're not fit for use. Why would God want to use you? Don't you remember how you cheated on your husband? Don't you remember how you looked at pornography 3 days ago? Don't you remember how you lied on your taxes, or you lied to somebody? Don't you remember? Come on, somebody. I'm not saying any of those things are right. I'm saying the enemy will try to convince you that you and I are even born again. And what happens is we'll sit down, we'll become immobile, we'll not advance, we'll not pursue freedom because I'm worthless. You guys all right here? Just the contradictions. So for believers, the struggle to walk in the Spirit, which is according to God's way, is not a battle between equal but opposite internal forces, kind of the good half and your evil half, but between your real self and your false self, or your flesh and your spirit. Now, let's look at three realities to walking in your true identity. Number one is this. I want you to see this. You are a new person, but you still have struggles. You are a new person, but you still have struggles. What passed away? 2 Corinthians 5:17. What? He said, what? He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. What passed away? Old things of what? What is that? That's your sin nature passed away. Now, I know you guys have saw this before, but let's put the diagram back up. Let's just look at here. This is a diagram of who you are, right? This is who you are. We have your spirit. You're made in a three-part image. You're made in the image of God. You're three parts, right? God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're made triune. And you are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is on the inside of you, and that's where God lives. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. When I got born again, my soul didn't get born again. My spirit got born again. My soul has to be renewed. My mind has to be renewed. That's why I got to get in the book. Why do I get in the book? It's not because I'm going to get a bozo button when I get to heaven. No. Listen here. Well, I'm going to get in the book because I'm trying to find out who I am. Amen. I'm trying to find out what I got. I'm trying to find out who I am in Jesus. That way I can come into agreement with who he says I am. Amen? Because listen here, my people are destroyed because of a what? A lack of knowledge. People are destroyed because they don't know who they are in Christ. So God lives in there. My soul is my mind, will, and emotions, which is didn't get saved when I didn't get born again. The Spirit of God is living in here. Now he's trying to affect my soul, which ultimately would begin to affect the way I do things. So there's some powerful things happen when you got born again. You were freed from the penalty of sin. And you were freed from the power of sin. You cannot say anymore, you know what? The devil made me do it. You cannot say anymore, you know what? I have no power against that. You cannot say that anymore. That was your in Adam identity forger. But now you're in Christ. There is a power living on the inside of you now that actually has delivered you from the power and the bondage of sin. Amen. You guys are right here. Let's look here in Romans. Let's just dig here a second. Romans chapter 6. Go real quick. Romans chapter 6. So the Bible equates our life in Christ as a death, burial, and resurrection. As a death, burial, and resurrection. When you got born again, that's why we'll have baptism soon. We got more people need to be baptized. We're going to put that up soon. So I think it's the fifth Sunday, whenever the next fifth Sunday is. But listen here, I'm telling you, this is why when we baptize, this is one of the reasons the baptism is about. It's about the death, being buried, being raised, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It shows us this. So God equates your spiritual life and you being born again as a death, burial, and resurrection. Now let's read here in Romans chapter 6, some of my favorite scriptures. Start here in verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also have been raised that we should walk in what? See, you've been raised with Christ, that way you can walk in this new life, this new creation identity. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, now this is not talking about your husband, this is talking about your old nature. This is what happened when you got born again. Your old man or the old nature passed away. Your in Adam identity is gone now. Stay with me. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been what? Is that past? Is that present tense or past tense? It's already happened. You've already been freed from the power of sin. It's a past tense. I'm not being made free. I am free. That's the reality. Now, if you notice back up here in verse 6, it's knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin. What is the body of sin? Let's look at this real quick. What is the body of sin? The body of sin is the after effects or the corpse that's laid, the corpse that has been left behind because of your new creation. All right, let me bring another, for instance. How about a locust? We had a lot of locusts this year, right? We had a lot of locusts. What does locusts leave behind? A shell. So when you got born again, now go back up here a second, go back to that diagram. When you got born again, the Spirit of God came inside of your spirit. Now, right, there's still some after effects with the mind, the will, and the emotions. You know what? I wish it was that easy that when you got born again, whoop, it all just changed. And there is sometimes things change just an instantly. I saw it even in my own life and in other people's lives. But a lot of times, there's some stuff that still hangs around. There's still a body of sin. There's still a corpse. There's still some stinking thinking. There's still some stinking stuff in my life that I'm dragging around with me. Right? So I need to understand, I am a new creation. It's already happened. But I still have struggles. I can't get convinced that I'm not saved, that I'm not righteous, that I'm not, I can't get, no. I got to shake myself off of that junk and say, no. I'm not letting condemnation come on me. No. That ain't working today. I'm going to look myself, I've done this so many times, Tommy Early. I've looked myself in the mirror and said, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. My stupid mistake does not define who I am. I am a new creation. I am a son. I know who I am. Now then I'm going to go to my Father and say, Father, I ask you to forgive me. That wasn't you. That's not right. That's not the way I should be acting. That's not the things I should be doing. So Father, I thank you for your great forgiveness for me, and I receive that forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. And I get set free from that. But I wake up on Tuesday morning. Come on, somebody. You ever had the enemy talk to you about your life, about how you're not something or the other because you're dragging around an old man? But what's it going to take for you and I to get delivered? I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. It's me renewing my mind to the truth. Waking up to who I am. I'm telling you, if you'll get so root conscious, it's not so much fruit conscious in your life, you'll see yourself walking in victory. And you'll walk in it. But what we're all the time is looking at the fruit. When I need to get focused on the root, which is Christ Jesus, and when I know who I am and I'm focused on that, the fruit just takes care of itself. You guys all right here? So I'm a new creation. I'm a new person, but I do. I have struggles. I have struggles. The Bible said you've been crucified with Christ. The Bible says where you died. Oh, come on. For you died and your life is what? Hidden with God in Christ. Come on, remember the abdomen, the picture. I'm hidden. You're a new person. You do have struggles. It's called the flesh. Your old nature died. That's what it says in verse 6. Let's read this again in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. Listen, this is the work that has to be done, partnering with God to get me free of the corpse that I'm dragging around. You guys all right here? Galatians 5, 16 and 7, I say then, Apostle Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? It's the tendencies, the thoughts, the impulses, and desires that are not in agreement with the Spirit. It's the tendencies that everyone feels to be pulled back into sin. Everybody in this room feels the pull to get back into sin. As long as you're going to be in this body, you're going to feel the pull. Why? Because it feels good. It feels good. And you feel that drawing. You feel that gravitational pull that's around you. You guys are right here. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you not do the things that you wish. He said, you feel it. You feel it. The Spirit and the flesh, you will always have the flesh. You're going to always have that. But God has given you a way to be able to overcome that. Number two, renew your mind to your true identity. You got to renew your mind to your true identity. The battlefield is the mind. The battlefield is the mind. Right? If you read here in Romans 6, let's read down here just a second. In verses, it says verse 7, we'll read down here to verse 13. For he who has died has been free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, look what he says right here now. Pay attention. Likewise, you also reckon yourself. Everybody say reckon. This word reckon is an accounting term. It means to actually do the math. It actually means take inventory. He says, listen, reckon, do the inventory. Reckon yourself. Just as Christ is dead to sin, you reconcile, you say, you know what? I'm reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's all renewing your mind to this. Like, I've got to remind myself that I am. You've been delivered from the power of sin. Amen. Now, I didn't say the presence of sin or the potential for sin. Because everybody still has that. Because everybody has the flesh. Everybody has temptations. But you have the power. He said, you got to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, look what he says in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members or your body as instruments of unrighteousness, sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but you're under grace. Man, those are powerful scriptures. But I've got to renew my mind to the truth of God's word. Let me just give you, for instance, real quick. Your new nature doesn't hate. Let's say right here. Your new nature doesn't hate. Well, we can put anything. We can put any type of, put anything, any type of work of the flesh. Hate, whatever you would want to do. Your new nature doesn't hate. It sees through God's eyes. When hatred tries to rise in your heart, remember, you're not trying to stop hating. You're practicing the love that's already in your new creation identity. Oh, this is a game changer. Because what are we trying to do? We're all the time trying to bite our lips and trying not to do something. When I need to remind myself, hold on, hate's not a part of my true identity. I'm now going to practice my new identity and the fruit of the Spirit. And now all of a sudden, the works of the flesh begin to be driven away. Why? Because you're living from your new identity. Now, is that going to feel good? No, it's probably not. But I promise you something. If you and I will actually do what the Bible tells us to do, our life will actually get a lot easier instead of a lot harder. Because anytime you and I start responding to the flesh and doing things by the flesh, it feels good to respond by the flesh. Instant gratification. Instant gratification. It feels good, but it always leads to harder. But if I'll make Christ-centered, word-centered decisions and practice my new nature, you know what happens? It's hard, but it will lead to things getting easier in general. Right? So I got to renew my mind to this. We will always, listen here, we will always act in agreement and function in accordance to what we believe about ourselves. I want you to put this quote up there. How we are known in heaven is our true identity in Christ. Having it become our reality on earth is our process of discovery with God. I want you to ask yourself a question. How does God see me? I've done this with people before. I've actually had them close their eyes. I've done this and say, what lies have you believed about God and about yourself? It's amazing how quick people can just pow, 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 pow. But if you ask them, what do you think God says about you? They struggle. But if you'll just identify the lie and just take it on the other side, the truth will set you free. Amen. And the truth will be revealed to you. Are you guys all right here? I've got to see this. The Father longs for you to see the image. Right? He longs for you. Romans 8. Let's go real quick. Romans 8, 5 through 7. You can put it up on the screen. We can do that for the sake of time just to move. It says, for those, look at it. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, Now notice that word according, it means to be in agreement with. For those who live in agreement to the flesh, what happens? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the ways of God, the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit is what they're mindful of. Verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in opposition against God, or in opposition to God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Let me show you this last picture real quick here. I want you to see this. I'm on a medical kick today, okay? So it just kept coming to me this way. This is what we call in therapy for people that have strokes. It's called mirror therapy. And what they do is, you can actually buy this, okay? So that way if you'd be working on it. You would say her right hemisphere was affected by the stroke, which affects the left side of your body. She puts her left arm, which has been affected, inside the box. This is the dysfunction. But the good hand is okay. The job is to her to look into the mirror and to focus in, check this out now, onto the good hand. She's looking at her left arm through a mirror. Oh, are you guys getting this? The Bible tells you and I that we are to look into the mirror of God's Word. Right? That's 2 Corinthians 3, I think 16. It says that you and I are being transformed. That's what it says. So you and I are being transformed into the image. We all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transferred into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. You're beholding in a mirror the right thing. If I go and start focusing and I start renewing my mind to the right things, and I see what the mirror tells me, what happens is my dysfunction starts to operate in my true identity. Am I making sense to you guys? But I got to look into the mirror. If I never look into the mirror, I'll never see it. I'll never see who I truly am. This is the mirror. And if I look into this mirror, it starts to show me my true identity. It shows me my dysfunction, but how I'm supposed to be functioning. Can I get a good amen here? So you got to renew your mind to the Word. The third thing is this. And we'll start closing it down just a minute. Third thing is, I want you to know about walking the reality of your true identity. Number one, we are a new creation, but we have struggles. Number two, I got to renew my mind to this new identity. Number three, I want you to know you have a helper. Remember I told you a little bit about the flesh? It's like a gravitational pull. Right? I mean, if you have something, right, I can drop something. Gravity is always here. But you and I, there is a law, you guys heard me talk about this before, but there is a law, right, that will supersede gravity. It's called the law of thrust and lift. How can an airplane, a big, huge, jumbo 747 airplane, get off the ground with the gravitational pull? Because there's a law that can supersede it through the law of thrust and lift that actually picks that thing up. It's the same thing with you and I. You never can defeat the flesh without the Spirit. And God has given you His Holy Spirit. I'm done, but listen, it's Romans 8. Go back there again, Romans 8. Talks about here in verse 6 how the carnal mind is death, spiritually mind, life and peace. That if you have a carnal, fleshly mind, then you are in opposition to God. Now look what it says in verse 8. So then, those who are, notice the terminology now. Stay with me, I want to teach them. So those who are where? In. Keep that. Can you back up to verse 5? For those who live what? Two different words. That means to live in agreement. The other one is, actually go back down to end now. Back. That's a state. You are not, listen, as a born again believer, you could live according to the flesh, but you will never be in the flesh ever again. You'll never be there. Now, how you say it? Look what it says. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He's writing to believers. But look what he says in verse 7. But you are not where? You're not in the flesh. But you're where? That's your fixed position. Come on, somebody. Are you guys getting this? You'll never be in the flesh. You can live according to it, in agreement with it. I can walk as a believer. We do this at times. At times, right? We do this. We live according to our flesh. But just because I'm living according doesn't mean that's my fixed position. My fixed position is in Christ or in the Spirit. Amen. Look what he says. I'll close right here. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, woo. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is where? In you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells where? He's saying to this church, listen. He said, listen, there is a gravitational pull called the flesh. You will have temptations. You'll have a drawing to try to get yourself back into sin. But I am giving you, and I've given you the Spirit. The now Spirit lives on the inside of you. You now have the law of thrust and lift living on the inside of you. You are now freed from sin. You're free from the power of sin. The power of sin. Now you can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it helps you and lifts you above all of that now. You can never live with the excuse ever again. You know what? Sin made me do that. My choice made me do that. But it's not who I am. You guys all right? So much to say. So it's not the try harder model. Quit trying. Stop trying to live right and start being. What are you saying, Pastor Paul? No. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But we're always trying to do better, and it never leads us to doing better. What I need to do is need to know who I am, live with that reality, and better will come. Now, I'm going to live. Now, listen, let me back that up, because I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying, like you can just go do whatever you want. You can't do that anyway. If you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you're going to get convicted. Anybody in here ever been convicted? Aren't you? No, that's a good thing. Aren't you glad for that? When the Holy Spirit starts, that your heart feels grieved because of something you said. But all of a sudden, if it's just a try hard model, I'm not depending on the Spirit. I'm depending on myself. And I can't depend on myself. I got to depend on the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. You say, well, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Close your Bible. I'm done. I'm just going to give you this. The Bible says in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. The Amplified says it like this. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh, the human nature, without God. How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you do that? You just got to stay filled with the Spirit. You got to stay filled with the Spirit. That means staying filled with His power. You got to stay filled with His Word. This is why you got to have some time with the Lord. It's why you got to dial back from that junk out there and get yourself connected with the Lord. Come on, it's important for you to do that. I'm not saying 3 hours. I'm talking about just you on your way. Three minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is. Get connected with the Lord and let Him fill you with His power, fill with the Word, and all of a sudden now you'll start living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. The second thing is you got to stay in step with Him. You got to stay in step with the Spirit. You can't just be out here doing your own thing. How do you stay in step with the Spirit? You got to be sensitive to Him, be responsive to Him, and you got to begin obedient to Him. When He tells you to do something, you got to do it. Stay in step. And the last thing you got to do is this. Listen, you stay connected to spiritual community. Because I'm going to tell you something. Come on, Justin, somebody else play. There's sometimes our lives can get pretty dark. I need somebody to see me for who I truly am. Because sometimes I can't see it. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been there before where you can't see it, but somebody around you does. Right? And all of a sudden, man, somebody comes up and I need somebody to be able to not forget my true name. I need somebody that can actually see me right. Because in the middle of situations, if you don't watch out, I'll believe lies just like you. Right? But I got somebody that will come up and inside a spiritual community can see me for who I truly am. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's Hebrews chapter 10. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But you are to assemble, to be stirred up to love and to good works. I need people around me. So God's Spirit, the body of Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, right? So the church of Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit inside of it. So as I'm surrounding myself with spiritual community, it's given the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to help me. It's not the only way, but it's a way. How you stay? What do you got to do? How you got to stay responsive, right? Stay connected to a spiritual community. It's good. Amen. I need these things. I want to walk in the Spirit. I will not fulfill the lust, the desires, and the cravings of that gravitational pull that I feel to go back into bondage. Man, I like to give them. I just like to tell them off. You ever been there before? Last week? This morning? I like to tell them off. You feel that gravitational pull, but the Spirit's living inside of you. Stay in step with Him. Stay in step with Him. Amen? Praise God. Get anything out of that today? So listen here. Go be. Go be. Go be. Go be the person that God's called you to be. Amen? Amen. Quit trying harder and start leaning into the Holy Spirit, who He is in your life. I guarantee you'll walk in victory. I wouldn't be up here preaching if I didn't believe it. I promise you that. We could all be doing something else today. Come on. Right? We all could be. But we're here because we believe something. We're here today because we've been changed by something. Being challenged to grow. Amen. Stand to your feet today.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.